I knew it. Boy, it's good to see you guys this morning. Thanks for making the effort to be here. God is good. This worship was great, and God has been helping us all day long in His house. I would like to try to challenge you this morning, as I've been challenging myself in the last few weeks, to a deeper walk with Christ, more than just Sunday religion. I want to draw our minds back to a passage of Scripture and an event that happened in the Old Testament in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody ever heard of these fellas, the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace? It's interesting to look at their life, and I hope that this situation they were in, we can draw some parallels this morning that will help us in our Christian journey when we are facing our fiery trial or our unfortunate circumstance that we might find ourselves in. I wish I could tell you that if you serve Jesus, you're never going to run out of money. Wouldn't that be nice? I wish I could tell you that if you serve Jesus, your car is never going to break down. I wish I could tell you that if you serve Jesus, you're never going to go to the hospital. You're never going to go to a courtroom. You're never going to go to a graveyard. But here in the real world, and in case you were wondering, that's the only world we can live in is the real world. There's going to be some unfortunate circumstances. There's going to be some fiery trials. There's going to be some difficult things. There's going to be things that we don't understand. There's going to be some questions that we can't answer. But I hope this morning somehow I can draw this parallel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and bring out to you that you can trust the God that we serve. I said you can trust the God that we serve. He is trustworthy this morning. So let's read together, just for sake of reference, a few verses of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden statue that you have set up." These fellas had more than Sunday religion. They had something more than, anybody ever heard the term jailhouse religion? Hey, listen, I'm glad when anybody gets saved, whether it's in the jailhouse or the church house, we want you to find Jesus. But these fellas already had something settled in their heart. They had settled the question on who they were going to serve long before they ever got to Babylon, long before they ever got to this moment of this fiery trial experience. These fellas had a commitment that steered them. Now we understand Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought to Babylon. They were slaves. Nebuchadnezzar had come and he had conquered their homeland. He had taken these fellas captive along with Daniel. And we understand the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And if this was happening in correlation in time, we do not understand why Daniel was not at this particular event. But by all indications, he was not here at this moment. But here we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We find that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, has set up a golden image, and he has brought all the kingdom to himself, and he's brought them all in, and he has said, "Here's what's going to happen: we're going to play some music, and when we play the music, what's going to happen? Everybody's going to bow down, right? Everybody still with me? I'm still on track, right? I don't have the flannel graph I had when I was a little kid, but we're getting close here. Everyone's going to bow down, and if you don't bow down, here's what's going to happen. You see the furnace over there? You're going to be thrown in the furnace." So the music plays. Old Nebuchadnezzar, old King Nebi, he's standing there. He has great pride as he's looking on. But all of a sudden he realizes, we got a problem. There's three fellas that aren't bowing down. Now it's interesting. I've tried to put myself in their shoes, or maybe I should say their sandals. I kind of thought, you know, what would I have done? Maybe there was a space I could have just slid off to the side over here somewhere, you know, where no one would see me, kind of get out of sight, out of mind kind of thing going on. Or maybe when the music plays, I could just, kind of crouch down a little bit, you know, kind of tie my sandal or something, just to kind of fit in. But you realize Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Hebrew boys, had made a determination they wasn't even going to blend in with what the culture around them was doing. Though everybody was bowing down, everybody was giving in, everybody was going to worship this idol, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had already had it settled in their heart. They were going to only bow to God. They were going to only serve the living God. They were not going to have any other gods before them. They were going to worship Jesus only. And crowd, this morning, God's looking for some people in 2024 that'll take a stand for right in a world that's upside down, in a world that's going crazy, in a day when right's wrong and wrong's right, and these people, as it used to say down home, went slap nuts. God's looking for some people that'll just take a stand and say, I'm going to serve the living God. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. So as Nebuchadnezzar's standing there, he looks out across, he sees the Hebrew boys standing there, standing up, and he thinks, well, maybe they didn't get the memo, you know? Maybe they didn't catch on what's going on. So, hey, fellas, come here. Listen, here's the situation in case you didn't know. When the music plays, you got to bow down. And that's where we picked up the reading this morning. These fellas say to him, listen, king, you might as well save your breath. Save your effort. We trust the God that we serve. He's able to deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow, so there's no sense in you playing the music any longer. All of a sudden, we understand that Nebuchadnezzar was so angry that his image was changed. He was mad. He was boiling. He was in a rage. And he took and he had the Hebrew boys bound up. Now, I want you to understand something. This is a real life experience. How do we know it's a real life experience? This is real flames. This is real heat. Because when they bound the Hebrew boys together, they bound them up, they threw them in the flames. And it killed the soldiers that threw them in. What am I trying to tell you? God did not take the heat out of the flames, but he protected his people in the midst of the fire. You're going to walk through some circumstances. You're going to walk through some fiery trials. You're going to walk through some floods and some flames, but there's one that's going to hold you fast in the palm of his hand, and you won't burn up and you won't drown. We serve a God at table this morning. Hallelujah. So he's angry. He has these boys bound, but they had a commitment that steered them. You heard about the pig and the chicken that were on a journey together, didn't you? Pig and the chicken were walking together. They'd journeyed about all night long, and it was getting toward morning, and chicken said, you know, I'm kind of hungry. Pig said, you know, think of it, I am too. Chicken said, hey, I got an idea. Let's have some eggs and bacon. I'll bring the eggs. Pig says, we got a slight problem here, Jack. You're making a contribution. I'm making a commitment. God's looking for some people in this day that'll make a commitment today. Before we ever get to the fire, that we're going to serve him. No matter what comes or what goes, we're going to serve Jesus Christ. They had a commitment that steered them. They had a God that sustained them. Nebuchadnezzar made a very crucial mistake when he threw these boys in the fire. He bound them all together. What we understand is that he wrapped their hands and their feet, tied them up, and then he tied them all together in a group, and he threw them down in the flames. If he'd had to done over, he should have grabbed old Shadrach, chucked him in, waited a little bit, got Meshach and chucked him in and waited a little bit, and Abednego, into the flames you go, and threw him in and waited a little bit. But he threw them all in together, and when he did, he invoked the promise of God. What is that promise? Where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I'll be in the midst. And all of a sudden, when he threw them all in together, they wouldn't be consumed because God showed up. You say, now listen, preacher, I'm here. I'm all alone in my fire. Oh, no, honey, look around this room. You're not alone at all. There's some people in this place that's walking through some flames. There's some people that have walked through some flames. There's some people that got some stories to tell of God's deliverance and God's help. You're not alone this morning. That's why we gather in the house of God. That's why we worship the way we do. That's why we take our stand and raise our hands, because we're trying to spread the love and the knowledge to other people that our God is able. So they got down in the flames. They went down. They were bound. But they didn't stay down. They got up. Because they found in the midst of the flames, they found a God that sustained them. The scripture tells us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But it doesn't say that it wouldn't be formed against us. You understand this? There's going to be weapons formed against us, but they're not going to be victorious. There's going to be bad things happen, but there's a God that sticks closer than a brother. And you know, I'm glad God sticks closer than a brother because I got two of them. And I love them. I think they love me, but I'm glad God sticks closer this morning hour. He's one that will never leave us nor forsake us. We got a God that sticks close. Do you know why when you go for a job interview, they want a resume? Anybody ever wondered why they want a resume? They want to know about your past performance, don't they? Because what happens? Past performance indicates future performance. If your resume is not real good, your job's not going to be real good. I'm just going to tell you that in case you were wondering about that. But we serve a God that has an impeccable resume. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before, anything you don't know. I'm just reminding you of some simple truths that some of us have heard for many, many years. Maybe some are hearing it for the first time, but I want to encourage you, the same God that we served back then, we can trust him this morning. This God has been faithful. He's been proven true time and time and time again, and you can trust the God that we serve this morning. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown in the fire. They're bound. And all of a sudden, I can't really explain this. I'm not the greatest theologian. But the ropes that have them bound are burnt off. But the clothes that they're wearing is not burnt. Could it be, as pastor's been preaching the last few weeks, that they had on the right garment? When you got the garment of God on, the world can't do anything to you, crowd. They can throw you in. They can cast you down. They can push you down. But there's one that'll be right there to sustain you and hold you up and lift you up. And every time, no matter what's going on, this God is faithful. When you got the garment of God on, you can walk in the midst of the fire. So they're thrown down in the flames. They are cast down. They are hurt. But they get up. Now there stands Nebuchadnezzar. He's watching this whole scene unfold. He's counting, he's looking in. He says, now wait a minute, there's Shadrach. One, two, three. Hey, Jethro, come over here. Didn't we throw three people in that fire? He said, who's that one that looks like the Son of God walking around in there? Hey, newsflash, Jesus hadn't been born yet. But anybody want to know why he showed up in the Old Testament to the Hebrew boys? Because he shows up when you least expect him. He shows up where he's not supposed to be. He shows up in your moment and in your trial. You can find this God will show up and show off. So that Nebuchadnezzar sees it going on. About the same time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego realize they're not dead. They realize they're loose. They realize, and then all of a sudden, I think one of them is kind of like, hey, fellas, who we got with us? One of them said, hey, that's Jesus. Now, listen, I told you I wasn't a great theologian. I'm not the smartest individual either. And I got a simple question I'd like to pose to you about this moment here. Now, my daddy always told me things, and some things I'd want to forget and some things I want to remember. You can say amen or however you want to do that. But he always told me, son, don't ever start a fight. But if you get someone attacks you, you can defend yourself. But just remember, son, it's a bad set of legs that lets a good body get beat up. I've always remembered that. Tried to keep them loose. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been cast down. The cords are burnt off of them. They're walking around in the fire. Why didn't they walk out? Could it be that they discovered it was better to walk in the flames with Jesus than to walk out of the flames without him? Could it be they got in the middle of a hallelujah meeting, in the middle of their fiery trial, when all of a sudden they got their eyes off the flame, they got their feelings off the heat, come on crowd, and all of a sudden they realized Jesus was in their midst. They didn't want to go anywhere. They wanted to just stay right there with him. And could it be this morning hour that you're in the midst of a fire, you're in the midst of a trial, but all of a sudden God shows up? If we'll stop looking at our problems and we'll start looking for the Savior, it's just liable that we'll find him walking right beside us. They had a God that sustained them. They had a faith that constrained them. They had made up their mind. They had settled the question. They were going to serve God no matter what. They had a faith that was in this God that they were serving. Could you imagine the conversation they were having in their own mind as they were going up to the fire? This is it. Here we go. That's hot. This is, I'm getting ready to see the God I serve. Could you also imagine what the devil was saying to them? See, I told you going to that Nazarene church was a bad idea. Look at where it's got you now, bud. Serving Jesus. How's that worked out for you? You're getting ready to go up in flames, bud. How's this serving Jesus work? Listen, the devil hasn't changed his tactics one bit. He just renews it and flips the page and goes back again. He said the same things to me before. I'll share with you that just in a moment. They're having these conversations, but they had a faith that was on a whole different level. That God, if you deliver us, we know you're able, go ahead, but if you don't deliver us, we're going to serve you. They had a faith that constrained them because they had found a Savior that sustained them. A few weeks ago, I was driving my truck uptown Anderson here, and I was going to the bank to make a deposit from the church. And as I was pulling into the First Merchants Bank uptown Anderson there, my truck kind of did this whole jostling, wobbling thing. And I heard this, this awful noise. So I just stop. And I get out and I walk around the side of my truck and I look, and now those mechanics will understand this. There's a thing on your truck called a ball joint. Who'd have thunk it? You know what I'm saying? The tire on your vehicle, as you're looking at it, is supposed to be straight up and down like this. But when I got out to mine, it was like this. So, leaning in. Brake lines busted. I'm right in the entrance. Like, there's no way around me. So I put the old thing in reverse, and I kind of ease myself back around and into a little parking spot. And I began to try to find a cheap tow truck. That's not a thing in Anderson. I just want to share that with you. Listen, your next business venture, go buy a tow truck, charge half price, you'll make millions, and you'll still beat everybody in town. Just, there's your business venture. I backed my truck in. I finally got a hold of this tow place. They're coming to get me, and I'm sitting there, and I just being 100% transparent crowd, I said, God, why? Why has my truck broke down? I'm literally working for the church. Of course, then God showed me I was driving a Dodge, and that was expected for it to break down. But the Lord showed me and said to me something in that moment that I've been working on in my own life, and that's in part why I'm sharing this thought with you this morning. Is God said to me, Mark, are you serving me or am I serving you? And then he began to reveal to me that really breaking down here was the mercy of God, because just a few days ago you had your camper hooked on the back, you had all your family in this vehicle, and if that would have happened with that could have been a really bad situation. So I understand a little bit what these Hebrew boys were going through. They were, God, where are you? Why are we in this fire? What's going on? And listen, Job, when he was going through his trial of affliction, he asked the same questions. God, where are you? Why is this happening? What's going on? And God answered Job, and God brought Job out victorious. I'm not here to talk about his life, but I'm here to try to bring a point to you that we serve a God that we can trust this morning. Hour. We need to have a faith in him, and this faith that will constrain us to follow him even through the fire, even through the flood, even through the hard places of life. Well, I got the truck fixed, in case you're wondering. But this faith that constrained them, this faith that held them, this God that sustained them, this commitment that steered them. And so I'm calling us this morning to just a deeper walk. This is a whole different level of faith these fellas had. But we can look at their life and we can realize that this God is faithful. I would like to share with you a story of my own life, my wife and I, and I've asked for permission to share this story. I was in college one time, believe it or not. I actually graduated. Now, that's a surprise. Thank you. They did the same exact thing. They're like, get, man, we're glad you're out here. But one day I realized there was this young lady that was always laughing. She was always smiling. She was always happy. And I realized that, yeah, she kind of made me laugh and made me happy. And then I realized I like to be around her. Because, man, we had a lot of fun together. Hey, you know. And then I realized that I really like this girl. So I asked her for her phone number. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? I lost my number. Can I have yours? All those good pickup lines, you know? Got her number. We began to build a relationship. I realized I love this girl. So I told her one night, I said, I love you. You know what she said? Thanks. You talk about building a man's ego, man. Woo! I was on cloud nine after that phone call. I figured that was the last one. Somewhere along the line, through the help of the Lord, we began to make progress. I realized I wanted to marry this girl, so I went around, snuck around to her dad, and took some money with me and bribed him. And although she didn't tell me she loved me, her mama loved me, and that was all that mattered, man. She prayed I'd be in the family. Ooh, that's true. That's true right there. That's not a preacher story. So about December the 6th or the 8th, it was right there in that time, over here on the Blue Bridge that crosses over the White River down Anderson here, 20 degrees, snow on the ground, most romantic situation you ever saw in your life. The lights of Anderson flickering in the background. I got down in the snow on one knee and I said, will you marry me? You want to know what she said? Are you serious? If you could get that answer before we leave today, I'd appreciate it. We began to plan a wedding. Wedding bells were ringing. I mean, this was awesome. This was great. We kind of got some news in that little bit of time that was alarming, but you know, we got news that her mom had breast cancer. But you know, it was just breast cancer, right? She was going to have surgery and chemo and radiation, and we just wanted to go with her to the surgery, and you know, it was just breast cancer. So we just kept on planning a wedding, had a big day, big old wedding out here at Wesley Free Methodist Church. Yeah, renting churches are expensive, by the way. We had a beautiful wedding, great day, high time. We were laughing, having fun, cutting up. We always did. We move over to Ohio, where I was born and raised, or Ohio, as they say it over there. We lived there for a few months, and the Lord opened up a door for us to go to Muncie to pastor a little church. Now, when I say little church, when we showed up, there was 8 people. So the two of us made it 10 people. But we began to run buses and knock on doors and invite people to church, and good things were happening. Mom had her surgery. She began her regimen of chemo and radiation, and things were still okay. We were going to beat this, right? God's going to heal her. God's going to come through. We have faith in this never-failing God. And then a scan was done. And we discovered there's cancer in 3 places, and it's in her bones. And all of a sudden, the prognosis wasn't near as exciting. The reality began to set in that this really could be the end. But no. Yeah. She's gonna be all right. We were living in Muncie, and my brother-in-law called me and said, hey, Mark, just gotta let you know Mom just passed away. So I drove across Muncie, picked up my wife, and I walked through the door. She saw the look on my face, and she knew. So the dreaded drive to 8th Street over here. And walked in, there was my mother-in-law's body. Her soul had already departed to the God that gave it. There was a saint that walked this earth. My mother-in-law was that woman. Wonderful, wonderful person. Then we find ourselves, you know, down at the funeral home, picking out what we're going to put her in and making those horrible decisions. I never will forget, as we walked out of the funeral, I looked at my brother-in-law, and let me just share this with you. My mother-in-law lived such a godly life that at her funeral, sinners wept under conviction, and saints shouted. I've been around emotionalism most all of my life. I know all about emotionalism. You won't convince me or show me anything I haven't already seen when it comes to emotionalism. I get that. I'm an emotional person. Matter of fact, you probably are too, at our core. But at her funeral, there was such a presence of God that it was undeniable. Sinners were weeping. Saints were rejoicing. She lived a holy life. We walk out of the funeral home, and I said to my brother-in-laws, I said, well, guys, the easy part's over. They said, what? I said, now we got to go home and live. Like, oh, yeah. So I got up the next Sunday at our little church. And my wife was back on the piano. She was the piano player. Matter of fact, I just got to say this. My wife never missed a Sunday. She had two children, not the same time, at different times, and never missed the next Sunday. She'd be rocking the baby like this with her foot, playing a piano like this. She deserves some kind of a medal, I'm telling you. But here we are, we get up in front of these people the next Sunday and we're saying, hey, you can trust God. Jesus never fails. God loves you. And we're crushed. We're hurting. And hurt become anger. Yes, even anger at God. God, why? Why'd you allow my mother-in-law? Why'd you allow my mom to go? And that anger, that became in between us. I remember, and I wish I could say I was the best husband and I said all the right things. And I remember one time I was like, why are you mad at me? Real calm. She said, I'm not mad at you. It's like, well, you couldn't convince me of that. Went to a little grief share class and realized that she wasn't mad at me. She was just angry at life. Life had dealt her a hard blow. I mean, I'm the preacher. I'm sharing all the scripture with my wife. You know, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is good all the time. But those scriptures wasn't working. I wish I could say we went to a big conference and we left that conference and she come out of there just, you know, on the little two-step or whatever, however you do that. Or someday it magically just, boom, she was better and we went back to laughing and having a good time. But I will tell you this, as I watched as my wife was walking through this fire, she began to get her eyes off the flames and her feelings off of the heat. And she began to lean into this God that she was somewhat and was mad at. She began to read his word. She began to dig into devotional books. She began to lean in. And I wish, again, I could say there was this magic moment when all of a sudden, woo, it all came together. But no, moment by moment, step by step, all of a sudden she realized, hey, I'm not in here alone. There's a God in there. There's a God in here, and he cares about me. He loves me, and he hasn't forsaken me. Although I'm so broken right now, my world's been torn apart, there's a Savior that does love me. She began to lean in and begin to look to this God that we had talked about, that we had sung about, that we believe in. She began to prove that true in her life. And I watched her even since then as she's began to share her story with others. I wish that was the worst of it because that's horrible, but just a few short years later on June the 2nd, her daddy was gone, sudden heart attack in the bed of his dump truck. And I watched again as the fires raged. But that time she walked in, she was, oh, there he is, there's Jesus, he's right here. She already knew where to find him. And I know there's some folks in this room that are going through some horrific things, or maybe there's some things you've went through and some fiery trials you've had to endure, some real heartache and some real heartbreak, and I'm just going to be honest, there's not a quick fix, and there's not always a good answer. But I've come to remind you this morning that if you'll lean into and look to this God that has an impeccable track record of keeping his promise and bringing people through. What happened to the Hebrew boys? What the devil meant to kill them set them free. They were bound, but the flames that was meant to kill them set them free. And what the devil means to kill you, God is going to turn and use for you and give you victory in your life and give you deliverance and bring you out better. And all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, let's get them boys out of there. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and hey, where's your buddy? Got two things to tell you. One thing, you know where he is? He's still in the fire, and he's walking in the flames, and he'll be there to help you when you call upon his name. And when they came out of there, there wasn't even the smell of smoke on their clothes. They came out, God brought them out victorious. Sometimes when we're in the midst of the fire, when we're in the trial, we can't always see what God is doing, but if we can trust the heart and we can hold onto the hand of this God that we serve, we will come out of our trial, we will come out of our battle victorious, and we'll come out better than what we went in. Not even the smell of smoke was on their clothes. There was complete healing, deliverance, and victory in their life. So this morning hour, I've just come to encourage some of you that are going through some things. God never promised it'd be easy, but he promised he'd stay with you. And he promised he would never fail you. And what the devil means to kill you, God's going to use to release you. So we bow our heads and we give ourselves a few moments to reflect and think and draw into this God that we serve. I would encourage you to leave this place. Maybe you're going through some things. Lean into him. Don't lean away from him. Get your eyes off the flames. Get your feelings off the heat. And get your faith in this God that'll sustain you, that'll keep you, that'll bring you out victorious. This God that has a track record, a resume, faithfulness. Father God, we're so thankful we can be in your presence, in your house. We're thankful for the songs that we heard sung that encouraged our hearts. And I pray you would take this few little simple broken truths that's been spoken this morning, this just reminder of this God that we serve. And as we're walking in the flames, may we begin to look around and find you and lean into you. And I just somehow sense I need to say this morning, Father. There's some people here that are in the fire, but I'm saying to them right now, in the name of Jesus, come out. Satan has tempted, has fought you and battled you and tortured you long enough. In Jesus' name, come out this morning. Be healed. Be delivered. Move forward. I pray you'd bless this crowd. Meet each need. Work in each life. For what you're going to do on this Sunday, we'll praise you. We love you in Jesus' wonderful and holy name. God's people said, amen.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. So I would challenge you in the coming week to make sure that what Pastor Mark said at the beginning of his sermon, which was, make it something more than just Sunday religion. You've heard me talk before about how important your story is, what value you bring to other people with the story that you have. You also help others know their value by what you bring to them that you're taking from here. Light, love, kindness. So I would encourage you to make sure that you're applying that every day, every single day, not just today, not just Saturday night before Sunday morning, but every day. This morning, I'm also going to talk to you about that QR code. That QR code. But there's only one. There's not four or five. And those of you who are here every Sunday are like, oh, are they going to mention that every Sunday? We sure are. But because there are a lot of new folks here as well, so they need to know how to get connected, how to serve, how to give, how to find out how to take your next steps in faith. So if you get that QR code, everything's right there. In one location, you can find out about small groups, you can find out about classes, again, find out about how to take your next steps, whether that's salvation, baptism, maybe how to pray. It can be something as simple as that. And then we get back with you right away. So one of the things that I just barely mentioned, but I'm going to ask my friend Justin and Travis, if Travis wants to come up here.
Dave, come on up here.
Oh, yeah. Look, see?
Zach, they're here.
Come on, Zach.
Those are the three
So serving is a huge piece of AFC. Like, you all know that. There are so many things going on all the time. So today, these guys get to be the very first that we're going to talk about in letting you know over the course of the summer as well who the leaders are, who the directors are of lots of different service-oriented things that we do here. What these guys do are, they are our parking team. They're amazing. This guy is the leader and the organizer of the group. And Justin, how many people do you have on the team?
Well, you're looking at our strong three right here. We got Travis, Dave, and Zach.
All right.
I told them they were going to get to, Travis wanted to sing. And I told him, no, probably better not. Dave was going to do some kind of talent thing. He said, no, he's not going to talk. But Zach, he's our local law enforcement. What, did you get pulled over this morning? So one of the things, we've seen flashing lights out here, right? And we're like, oh, great, somebody got pulled over. And we look over, and it's Zach. So, Zach, good job, buddy.
So, you guys, but it's a segue to also let you know, he means this is the team.
This is what we got.
Minus, two other guys who couldn't be here today, but a total of six for every single Sunday, all three services. So, we're not trying to guilt you, but maybe.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
That every ministry area, every area of service does need volunteers to keep everything functioning. And we know, what you see, you're like, they got it. Everything's fine. But it's not, because they're the only ones doing it. So when do they get to come to service with their families? So there'd be great to have a rotation, because we do have guys who need to be out. They're sick, or they go on vacation, just like everyone else. So if you or someone you know would be interested, please see one of these guys in pretty yellow, orange vest, or you can come talk to me or anyone on staff about getting involved. But also, I want you to know just a little bit more about Justin as well. So I'm going to let him tell you, when he came to AFC, how long he's been here, and the good, the bad, and the ugly of the parking team.
All right. So we began coming here, my family and I became coming here last January, so January of 2023. So we've been here about a year and a half. And in April or March, Pastor Mark came to me and said, hey, we need to do something with our parking. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? He's like, well, just park them. And I'm like, okay, well, that's easy enough. And then I realized it wasn't so easy, especially with three services. So with three services, there's a lot of things that you might not see. The one thing you probably do see is hey, where do I park? And I'm like, what? And we have a team that's been great, and we've tried to park you where we can, but we are growing and growing even more. So it does get congested. I completely agree with that. But we are doing our best out there. We have added across the street the gravel parking lot. We have 30 spaces. The hospital has graciously let us use 30 spaces in their corner lot over here. We have along the road here on 23rd Street, we can park about 12 to 14 cars there, depending on what size car you have. We have one big thing is handicap parking. On the south side of the parking lot here, we have added, we're trying to implement 10 more spots. I know it's hard. Everybody wants to park close. I get it. I really do. I don't want to walk that far, but we need more handicap parking. So I've kind of kept everybody out of. So if you're able to walk a little bit, try to park in the main parking area so that we can leave the closer ones for those who need it. You guys have been doing great. It's been, especially with the transition between second service and third service, I know there's times where it can get almost like bumper cars out there. But I will, my biggest ask is slow down just a little bit. These past few Sundays, I know one of our guys, that he isn't here today, he almost got hit by one of the visitors coming in. And then I've almost seen little kids, in this third service, we have a lot of little kids that are here. They like to dart, and sometimes the parents can't catch them. If you're going a little bit faster than what you should, something can happen. So I don't want to end on a negative spot, but that's my big ask. You guys are doing great so far. Just work with us. We're doing our best out there. There's a very huge need. I'd like to get 12 people if possible, 4 for each service. That would give everybody a break and at least let some of us come to church, because we like to be with our families while we're worshiping. So that's our big thing.
Well, I won't let him end on a negative note. You know, these guys literally are our first impression of AFC. You know, people are parking, and so I think that they're doing an amazing job, and I hope that you will show them some love and some gratitude by not only volunteering if you can, but just appreciating what they're doing out in the parking lot. Say hi to them in the morning. They think they're like not seen and that they're the piece that works behind the scenes all the time, but let's make them seen, let's make them known, let's appreciate who they are and what they're doing. So can you give them a round of applause, please? So I won't tell anybody else's story for them, but I do know, because I have heard a story come from another person, and it came from another person, about the impact that happened out in the parking lot, because these guys start to realize, like, they see you, and they see you, and you, and you walking in. And so when someone doesn't show up, like, I wonder where this person is or this person is. And, you know, they happen to see someone who hadn't come back, and they were able to have some conversation, and it was good conversation. And so I'm just saying, the ministry goes beyond these walls, just like I was telling you earlier. So I want to send you out of here with a blessing. Pastor Mark already prayed over you, but I want to tell you, please go into your week, be blessed by our loving Heavenly Father, but make sure that you give that love and light and kindness away. We love you, and we'll see you next Sunday.